Welcome to Family by Design, a weekly radio program brought to you by
Wellspring Christian Family Schools,
the education ministry of WCF Church, located in Sebillesville, Maryland. We hope that today, in some way, we will help you to treasure God's design for your family.
Because the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus.
Did you know that how you respond to trials and difficulties and frustrations in your home sets a pattern for how your children will react to those kind of things in their life? Well, on today's broadcast, Pastor Gary is going to develop and talk about that important element in the continuation of a message that he began last week. It's part of our workshop series for 2018-19. And Gary's going to bring the second part of a message he began called Know Your Enemy. It was given at the November 2018 workshop for Wellspring Christian Family Schools. And we're going to jump right in and pick up where we left off. Here's Gary.
Those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, "We're not blind too, are we?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say we see, your sin remains." It's probably the most difficult balancing act that a parent has. We want to cheer our children on as they grow, as they conquer new heights of knowledge and skills and understanding, and we see them overcome obstacle after obstacle in the natural world. That's a wonderful place for us to cheer them on. But in spiritual reality, if we only measure our success by overcoming the natural environment around us, then we haven't learned what it means to walk by faith. Walking by faith means that I have to find myself at a place where my need drives me to the Savior who's going to meet that need. Our idea of perfection is to have all the needs met, to function perfectly. And the Lord's idea of process is always make sure for my dear children there's some form of trouble or need they have, so they'll have an occasion today to come to me wholly and sincerely, so that I might be their God and they might be my dear children. Next, verse 4. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. So here's an interesting battleground. Unbelief blinds us, so the truth of the gospel doesn't reach our eyes. The light of the glorious gospel can't shine unto someone who's clinging firmly to their personal confidence. Jesus said, "I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners to repentance." And so the spiritual reality is that your children need the light of the gospel shining unto them in a moment. And you can be a vessel to bring that light to them. From 2 Corinthians 10, bring every thought captive to the obedience, to obedience in Christ. You're going to have to stop in the middle of a circumstance and find out where Satan's blinding the eyes. What are you thinking? What are you afraid of? And those sometimes are huge, big fears. And Satan knows how to dress up fears into huge monsters. It's like he uses the light to cast a long, dark shadow of confusion, and he gets us to respond to the shadow instead of to the one who's throwing out the light and looking at the source of light. Bring every thought captive. What are you thinking? If you don't know what your child's thinking in the middle of a circumstance, then you really don't know the battle, the blinding battle that Satan is bringing to them at that point. So you can help them see what faith looks like by understanding their fear and then representing their fear in light of the truth from the Word of God so that they can trust the Lord at the point of their fear. Second point, let the glory of your faith be visible. Now, this is really imperative. You love your children, and like that niece of mine, nagging worry and fear that I'm going to do something that permanently messes my kid up. It's going to cause them to reject me or reject the Lord. That's a really natural battlefield that we have. And yet, in spiritual reality, I must have the first victory. I must become the place of refuge. I must be able to comfort myself and to know that God's the one in charge. When your children see that you're resting in God, they're going to have that. Who knows when the Lord might bring it to their memory at the right time. But be a memory. Be a memory of someone who let the glory of your faith shine freely to your kids. So they remember. They remember what you said. They remember what you did in that difficult, horrible time. It's going to be their heritage. It's going to be what they remember in those dark hours. The Holy Spirit has a way of bringing that to the forefront. You must exhibit your faith as the first step of teaching faith. I know it's ridiculous, but I'll say it anyway. How could you ever teach your child about faith if they never see you have faith? And I remember that funny story from the Pineapple series. What was that guy's name? Thank you. Yeah, Otto Koning series. And he tells this really humorous story about the natives, and he's trying to tell them about what it means to be a Christian. At the same time, they're stealing him blind, and he's having so much emotional trauma with their sin nature overrunning, spilling over his family and his garden and what have you. And one day he has personal victory, and he surrenders his pineapple garden to the Lord. Says, "Lord, these are your pineapples. If you want to have the natives steal your pineapples, you just go right ahead." And the natives said to him, "Otto, have you become a Christian?" Oh, I'm sorry. The earlier punchline was, when he was telling them about a Christian, they said, "Oh, I hope I get to see one someday." As if the missionary is not. And moms and dads, that's really how it is in the trenches of your home. You can talk about faith all you want, but do your children see what it looks like? Now, I'm not saying that we don't get stricken with that immediate awareness that Satan's coming in like a flood. But we have to pay attention in our own spirit so that we hoist that flag of faith and say, "Nevertheless, I'm going to trust him." This is how you manifest the truth to the unbeliever's conscience. You show it forth. We talked about manifestation last workshop. Your child needs to see you believe Christ in your life circumstances. Next, verse 5. You know what? I'm not reading the titles on top. Know your enemy, it's not your child. Know the battle, it's getting light through. And know your enemy, excuse me, going forward again. Know your master, it's not about you. When you invest your whole being into someone, it's so easy to feel so invested that you feel like it's a judgment on you. It's a report card, how your children respond, whether you were a good parent or a bad parent. And as soon as we slip into that mistake, we suddenly become part of that blindness that our children can't see the glory of God. because we don't think this way. We don't know that we're doing it, but we're really wanting them to see the glory of their wonderful mom and their magnificent dad, who are just doing so many wonderful things for them. I think it's one of the most incredible head shakers in the world that parents live such sacrificial lives for their children, and their children, by and large, advance well into adulthood before they even realize what kind of sacrifice was given on the behalf of their love, and to not be grateful, to not even recognize it, and to not say thank you. But if we're living for the thank you, get another business. Go into another trade. Because being the servants of the Lord is not about you. Verse 5 says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves slaves for Jesus' sake. Now that's hugely, hugely powerful. But I just, the first line, I just want to make one quick comment. How do you preach yourself? What does it look like when you're preaching yourself? If you're your child, what are they perceiving when you're preaching yourself? I remember when I was a parent of young ones, and I would usher the edict of dad. And one of my children would say to me, who said so? And I would stand up straight. I said so. And I learned pretty quickly that wasn't a very valid answer or a very spiritually nurturing answer. And I discovered the amazing thing that if it was my idea against my child's idea, wow, I couldn't believe how smart my children could be to argue me and whittle me back into the corner until you're like, not sure where to go. And you need that banner raised up. But what an incredible, powerful release of spiritual energy would take place when I would remember that, oh, wait a minute. I'm not doing this because I want it to be done. I'm doing this because I fear God, and I want to execute my job as parent well, and so I fear God. And so that's so imperative. Number one, fear God. You are not the Lord. You're not the Lord of your home. Now, if you can practice that, not being the Lord of your home, recognizing God is Lord, then when you're able to read that scripture and exhort your children, you tell them, well, the Bible says, obey your father and mother in the Lord, for this is right. So there's something about obedience that relates to the Lord. So I want you to recognize that as dad, I fear God, and it's about him. And so because I fear the Lord, I'm going to do what God asks me to do, and I'm going to take steps that he commands me to take because I fear him and because I love you. And when you're able to exhibit that authority comes from God and it's not about you, you raise the bar, but you also raise the eyes. And they're looking past the frail human vessel, which is you and me. They're looking up to the perfect heavenly Father who does all things well and who uses sorrow, difficulty, tragedy, and even dumb parents to accomplish his will in the lives of his children. Number two, obey. You are the Lord's slave. So you're in a battle with your child, and you want them to obey. You have no idea how powerful it is when your plead for your child to obey springs from your heart's desire to obey God. You want to do his will. You want to bring God's perspective into the formula, into the mix, into the moment. And it's your obedience to God. Many times when I would finally have to resort to the rod, I would say, I don't know why God chose spanking. I just know that he said to. and I love God and I fear God, and so we're going to trust God. And we would pray a prayer of faith that God would somehow use this tool, whatever it was, we didn't understand, but would he bless our own, bless the child, and the administration of that heavenly grace. And what a release of spirit. What a release of personal angst when we recognize we're serving the Lord and serving the Lord's interests as slaves. Never appeal to your authority as parents. Appeal to God's authority over you as a slave and you being obedient parents. Number three, pray again. Can never pray enough. Ask the Lord what obedience looks like to him in particular circumstances that you're in. Your example of fearing the Lord will shine out in the darkness. The amazing thing is, you need darkness to have light. So the good news is, the darker the things are in your circumstances, the brighter the smallest bit of light is as it begins to come forward. So go for the light and let your example of fearing the Lord be an example of light. And it's an amazing different kind of humility to say, who said so, or how come I said so, to I fear the Lord, I've got to obey the Lord, and I'm not going to move, I can't, because I fear the Lord. That's so much more significant, because when they see you're fearing God and you can't be moved away from that fear, then they're going to understand what it looks like, even as they're kicking and screaming in the moment. Verse 6. Know your reflection. It's Jesus shining out of you. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Do you get it? It's not about your intelligence. That, you know, go back to that verse in Isaiah. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord raised up a standard. Someone who sees the place of refuge and knows where to run, knows where to flee. And let that be you. The light shines brightly in you, and you flee to the Lord. You flee to his place of refuge. And so it's an imperative that you and I have to walk in. I've got to walk in the light. I've got to have light shining in me. I've got to have comfort and confidence springing from the Lord directing me by his word, by his spirit, to do what I'm called to do. And I'm just trusting. I'm resting in him. Remember that little verse in Matthew? Jesus teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. Chapter 5, he says, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. What kind of good works are they? Well, they're the good works of a servant, a slave of God, who's fearful of doing anything to dishonor the Lord. And so they obey. And they manifest that obedience plainly. And when that selfless, sacrificial obedience to God is plainly manifest, then it's God who gets the glory. It's not about you. It's about God. And as they see you give him glory, they get to see the God of glory. That's that secret. You want your child to see the glory of God. None of us can ever be the same once we've seen that glory. And, you know, let this be the practical standard that you use. It's not getting them to do the right thing in the moment. It's not getting them to agree with you in the moment. It's not getting them to be less obnoxious in the moment. The important thing is recognizing that you have your eyes set on the glory of the Lord, and your hope and your confidence is in him. And you're bringing the ministry as a faithful slave of Jesus Christ, you're bringing that loving ministry to your child, to your children, for that purpose. And you don't turn from the right hand, and you don't turn to the left. And I want to say, and you don't get personally offended, but even when we do get personally offended, we repent and we walk humbly. I had an interesting thought about humility this week and it relates to children. How gross must the sin be before you finally acknowledge it's a sin? How terrible must the sin be before you say, yeah, that's really bad. That's not right. And people who walk in pride are so sensitive to being falsely accused of wrongdoing that virtually you have to convict them of murder before they'll acknowledge that they did anything wrong. And it's an amazing thing. Once we trick ourselves, we can even commit murder and dress it up in some other odd display of self-vindication. So the servant of the Lord is one who is the humblest. The most effective servant of the Lord is the one who's the humblest. If I can be broken at the lower level of sin, where I'm not trusting my Lord in this matter, and where I use that position I had as a leverage for my name and for my name's sake, for my glory, if I can walk in humility of that and reduce myself to this position of slave, I don't need anybody's thank you. I don't need anybody's pat on the back. I just need to be faithful and to quickly recognize the person that recognizes their sin at the lowest level has the greatest amount of glory that can be shining through in their works. And lastly, have vision. God will show you how a choice you make will shine out and teach others so they know what glorifies God. This is the glory that shines from you to others out in the face of Jesus. And I just want to make one little comment here in terms of have vision. When your schedule is filled and packed, when you're busy and you're running hither, skither, and yawn, if that's the right way to say it. Maybe it's hither, slither, and yawn. I don't remember. When you got so many multiple tasks you're trying to manage and get done, the busier you become, the more your agenda is the reigning authority. And so it sounds horrible. It sounds almost mean. But the more your agenda is an idol, it's a form of false worship. You're giving that achieved, accomplished agenda of yours the highest level of achievement, the thing you're giving the most allegiance to. But there are times when you need that shakedown to get a better perspective. And I know that sometimes you just have to call stop. There were a couple times in our lives where I couldn't keep up any longer. It was just too many things. And by the help of and the grace of God, I called a fast. And for my family, a fast meant we cut off everything, all outside activities, got somebody else to preach for a few weeks, and we just hunkered down and tried to deal with what the issues were so we could stop and look at choices so that I could get my head about me and I could inquire about the choices that we were making and why. And then coming back with the glory of God shining in my eyes and being able to say as a testimony, well, we know it's a true fact that when you're a full adult and you're following after the Lord, whatever the Lord leads you to do, if your heart's after the Lord, our hope is that you'll obey the Lord. And that'll be your testimony. But as for now, most important thing is for you to see parents who have that vision that what we're doing, they see as a way of being obedient and seeking the Lord's glory. And so today we're going to learn what it means as a family to honor the Lord and seek his glory in our home with the feeble rulers God has placed in this home, mom and dad. And as you learn that, then later when you're in charge, you'll have that sensitivity in place and you'll be able to filter through and answer questions and make good choices. Why am I doing this? Because this is what the Lord inclined my heart to do, and I praise him for it. So, not easy. The battle is clear. Your children aren't the enemy. Satan is. And the battlefield is perspective. What's going on? To the degree Satan wins the battle and makes you feel like your child is the enemy, to that degree, to that same degree, Satan will take you out of that nurturing role and lock you into an adversarial role. But by the help of God, as you see the occasion and you realize, okay, one thing in this occasion will give glory to God. Lord, let me see what that is. And then you do it unto the Lord because you trust the Lord, because you fear the Lord, because you know the Lord is a good God. I'm going to close with reading what one of my 59 nieces or nephews wrote. I realized that I needed to be reminding myself daily that He is God, He is good, I will praise Him, and I will trust Him. Even if I have to chant it to myself under my breath or in my head. Seems silly, seems simple. Not sure it changes circumstances, but it takes the fear of how I'm going through the moment. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the moments of our lives that are, for us, occasions of fear, where we feel like the enemy's coming in like a flood. So, Lord, we ask that you would raise up a standard in our own hearts, that in the midst of the storm, we find our direction and we run to you, we flee to you for refuge. We tuck ourselves under the feathers of your wings, and we become a source of encouragement to others to do the same thing. Pray for our children, Lord, that not that we'd be perfect parents, but that we would be humble servants and that we would be constantly seeking your glory in all we do. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now, Joel? Donna? Anybody have a question? All right, so the next class, well, the next session is our...
Well, with that, we've come to the end of the broadcast for today. But you can hear the rest of this broadcast, if you missed the first half, by going to wcfs.edu and clicking on our resources tab. You'll find our audio vault of all our previous broadcasts there for this program. We hope you'll go ahead and do that. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can certainly do so by giving us a phone call at 301-241-2072, or you can drop us an email at radio@wcfs.edu. We are excited to bring you a really exciting set of interviews in the coming weeks. We have a missionary friend named Rachel Wilson, who is going to be sharing about her experience helping homeschooling families on the mission field. And she has such a unique and really terrific perspective, and we're looking forward to bringing those broadcasts to you starting next week. So we hope that you'll join us right here next week on Family by Design as we continue to help treasure God's design for your family.
Thanks for spending your time with us today here at Family by Design. Join us every Sunday when we will continue this wonderful journey helping you to treasure God's design for your family.
'Cause the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass Him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving, the greatest gift. is a life lived for Jesus.